In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes a question's answer is more important than the question itself, and so the anonymous person's query, are there only a few who are going to be saved? Doubtless there was something about Jesus' teaching in this section that occasioned the question in the first place, but surrounding context leaves us in the dark. Most think Luke begins here a new discourse and a second major division in Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. So the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven, which immediately precede today's text, probably did not elicit the question that begins today's reading. It was rather the nature of Jesus' teaching itself, as he headed unerringly to Jerusalem, that put the hearer on edge. Are there only a few who are going to be saved? Jesus' response would seem at first scarcely to be comforting. Strive to enter through the narrow door. The word translated strive in many English versions is agonizis, the second person plural present imperative middle, which might be rendered, keep on agonizing for yourselves to enter the narrow door. Agony you'll recognize from that verb's Greek stem. And this has occasioned all kinds of legalistic interpretation, such as, for example, that moral effort is necessary to enter the kingdom, so I. Howard Marshall, or that the goal can be attained only with the full expenditure of all our energies, so Stauffer in his article in the TDNT. The bedags strain every nerve to enter seems par for the course. Here I must cheat and fall back on the interpretation of my colleague Art Just, who argues that the struggle through which one enters is repentance, which is a work of God upon the human heart. Just writes, and I quote, "The struggle is produced when the word of God, such as the teaching of Jesus here, calls one to repent and trust in Christ. But sinful human nature wars against God's word," end of quote. The struggle is lifelong, bitter, and a perpetual kicking against the pricks. Just mentions Romans chapter 7. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is key, both to entering through the narrow door and interpreting all Scripture, including this fascinating piece. The passage is disturbing for its focus upon literally being locked out of the kingdom, on being on the wrong side of the door and of God's Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. When the master of the house arises and locks the door, indeed you all shall begin to stand outside and to keep beating upon the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he in reply shall say to you all, I do not know you where you're from. Then you will begin to keep saying, we ate before you and drank in our streets you once taught. Yet he will say, saying to you, I do not know you where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. Like I said, the passage is graphic and specific, perhaps too specific for our comfort. But that is the point. This is a severe preaching of repentance. Like John, long ago at the beginning of Luke's gospel, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The scene will occasion weeping and gnashing of teeth on the last day and deep reflection now. But we have been washed. We have been baptized. This means we die and rise daily in Christ Jesus, our Savior. He suffered and died for sinners such as we are and rose for our justification. Jesus for us is key to the narrow door. In fact, if I may borrow from John's gospel here, he is the door of the sheep, the way to the Father, John 10 and John 14. So the passage, as we've seen, tilts toward the negative, on being locked out, on being on the wrong side of the door on Judgment Day with all the dismay and consternation that shall grip the many who won't be saved. Yet, for all the terror generated, which is intended for our repentance and salvation, the passage contains several bright shafts of light illuminating the gloom and casting a bright beam upon our life here below as Christians under the cross. One such shaft comes in the statement that the locked out ones shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Then he says, but you cast out. And they shall come from east and west and from north and south and recline in the kingdom of God. The statement looks to the end time, painting in vivid strokes the plight of those who rejected the table fellowship of Jesus, which he was already teaching on his way to Jerusalem, where he would give himself to his disciples in the bread and in the wine on the night when he was betrayed. At the eschatological banquet, there shall be a reunion of all the Old Testament saints, including the named patriarchs and all the prophets, which is a Lucan touch. It will be a frightening time, to be sure, because those who rejected Jesus looking from outside in shall see in the light the joy of the banquet guests, then indeed the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Very like the anonymous rich man looking across the chasm at Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, you will recall a couple days ago. Luke tends to paint these lurid scenes. On the other hand, this vivid image sustains us as we tend in stages toward the heavenly feast, the one in company with the Lamb. Those rejoicing at the heavenly table, and at ours also had we only the eyes to see, include the patriarchs, the prophets, and even Gentiles from east and west and from north and south, as well as the outcasts of Israel. These are the ones who figure so prominently in Luke's gospel. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. This snatch of the Magnificat is fulfilled not only in the course of Jesus' earthly ministry, which Luke describes in great detail in his gospel, but maybe also, I submit, at the divine service here below, which is always conducted, as the liturgy informs us, with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. So, the answer to the question of whether those being saved are few is a resounding yes, few indeed. But we need not despair of the struggle to enter the narrow door by our own effort. Jesus did that perfectly, and we have been baptized into him. We die and rise. We repent and believe agonizingly in him. To us, the pleasure of the everlasting feast that begins on earth. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.